Hi, I'm Nicholas Seminario, founder of Dark Angel Company. This podcast is to share the untold stories of just a few of the many people battling mental illnesses in this world. If you're in need of a little inspiration to keep fighting or to feel less alone in your battle, keep listening and share to spread awareness. This is the Dark Angel Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dark Angel Podcast. It is me, Nick, again, and I just want to thank you guys for all the support lately. Please leave comments and rate the show. If you guys could give it 5 stars, that would be really, really awesome. It goes a long way. Today, I have a really, really special guest, and so we go way back. This is Anthony DiBenedetto. If you want to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then, yeah, we'll take it from there.
Yeah, sure. My name's Anthony DiBenedetto, as Nick said. I go to college with Nick, over at Hofstra. And we started taking a class together this year, found out about the podcast, and, you asked if I wanted to come on, and here we are.
Yep. So, we went to preschool together, right?
I think so, yeah, actually.
So, Anthony's a year older than me. I was in your grade for preschool for whatever reason.
It was a big mix.
I think I was just with the older kids for whatever reason. I don't really remember, but yeah. So we've known each other since we're 3 or 4 years old, and you know, like I said, he's a year older than me, so obviously some time passed in between. And like he just said, we happen to have a class together, and it was very funny. You know, it's just like, what are the chances of that? I didn't even know you went to Hofstra, and then now we're sitting here together. So Anthony's gonna share his story. He suffers from something called TTM, which he's gonna get into, and you're gonna be able to kind of pronounce it the correct way. I don't want to say it incorrectly, so I want you to get into it. I want you to explain it to us and tell us everything about it.
TTM is the abbreviation that oftentimes like used in like scientific and like research spots kind of, but the actual name of it is called trichotillomania. It's an impulse control disorder. Specifically, it's on the same type of spectrum as like pyromania or kleptomania, in the sense of that these people get impulses in regards to some sort of thing. In trichotillomania's case, or TTM's case, it's in regards to hair pulling. So anyone who's affected by TTM, it varies between people, but they'll get urges to pull at body hairs, specifically to pull them out. Oftentimes, you'll see it in like the eyebrows or someone's scalp, even eyelashes, leg hairs, anything really. I often see a lot of rough cases are in the scalp, but me personally, I deal with it in my eyebrows and my eyelashes specifically.
Okay, so if you want to get into where it started, you know, how this all originated, how you realized you had TTM, you know, all the signs and these kind of, I guess, situations that put you into this position.
Yeah, for sure. So I remember pretty distinctly, actually, in my freshman year of high school, I was taking my English class, and we had like a project that it basically boiled down to like being a book report where we got an independent reading thing. We picked out a book from the school library, and then we had to read the book and then do like a little report on it. And I remember, procrastinating as you do. It was like the night before the assignment was due, and I still hadn't read the book. So I figured I'd cram the book, finish it up, and then just quickly write out the report. While reading it, it's tough to put into words, to be honest, but I just remember like slowly picking at my right eyebrow specifically, and then kind of just like, it felt like I was playing with it, to be honest. Like, it didn't really feel like I was like getting hairs out, ripping out, but I was kind of just messing around with it, feeling it out. I'm like a very like textile guy, and I like mess around with my hands a lot. Like, I like fidget toys, that kind of thing. So yeah. I just figured it's just kind of a thing that I'm doing.
I'm in the same boat. Yeah, I love just exactly. Like, you need to be constantly doing something, right?
It's, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm just doing that. And then I kind of like run my thumb across the eyebrow, which it's the other one, but I was like rubbing it across and it felt like completely bald or like skin basically. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And I checked my phone and I had like almost not like in a daze because I don't want to seem like I was like possessed or something, but like kind of in the act of zoning out and reading the book, I had pulled off basically like the back half of my eyebrow. And it was like just the front half and then it kind of just stopped, which was very jarring. I checked my phone camera. So I'm looking at my phone camera and I just remember like getting like a spike of anxiety and just being like, whoa, like that's not okay at all. And I was kind of beating myself up about it for the rest of the night and just not really feeling good about it. And I don't want to, yeah, just kind of like having overall anxiety about it in general. So I kind of started looking it up just because that's kind of my, like whenever I'm like, don't know something, I'll always look it up on my phone if I have access to my phone or my computer, just to kind of get some sort of understanding so I can stop freaking out. So I looked it up and I found a bunch of YouTube videos on trichotillomania, and specifically a lot of like articles and writing of actually a man on Long Island who was a specialist in trichotillomania. So I kind of got a good understanding of what it was that night. And then kind of felt a little bit better about it, but still in that weird kind of situation, you know?
Yeah. So when you first picked your phone up and looked into the camera, what was your first thought?
I don't know if it was a thought necessarily. It was, I guess like, you know, oh shit, or like, you know, so basically that. It was mostly, I don't even remember having like thoughts that were put into words. I just looked and it like that deep drop of your stomach kind of happened, and then I felt my heart start pumping and I was just like kind of just like in that disappointed like, oh damn,
yeah,
type of feeling.
So is this something that's triggered by anxiety or are they not necessarily always together?
It can actually, both of those cases can apply. It definitely is caused by anxiety and it also causes anxiety in many people. Whether that's like cognitive or somatic, whether that's like just in their head or if it's like their body as well, like they're sweating or shaking or something like that. It can both be caused and caused by it. From what I've read and from what I've learned just through talking to trichotillomania people, it's oftentimes cognitive anxiety makes it worse. So like if you're like physically having anxiety symptoms, it's not necessarily gonna spike it or like cause it as much as just like mental anxiety would. I definitely found that to be true. Oftentimes I never experienced like the physical anxiety symptoms too much, but like mentally I was like felt like I was spiraling and it was weird because like my heart's not pumping or I'm not sweating, but I feel like I'm trapped kind of in a way, right? So definitely by that kind of anxiety. But it's very hard to pinpoint because there's many things that could trigger it. It's not necessarily just anxiety. A big thing with me was the like just a lack of like stuff going on, if that makes sense. Like for funnily enough, being in class was one of my biggest triggers in high school. And like as soon as I stopped paying attention to the like the lecture or whatever's going on in class, even for a second, I kind of like slowly it got easier to zone out, and then as that went on, start picking more and more. And it was very much like a zone out thing. Which is all not to keep bouncing around.
No, you're good. You're good.
Just try to keep it concise. Another big thing in trichotillomania patients is zoning out pulling. I remember when I was when I went to therapy for it with a specialist, she asked, do I zone out when I do it or am I intentionally pulling them out and am I like okay with that? Like in a lot of people it's like a fully zone out thing. I don't want to use any wrong words, so I don't want to like say like it's a disassociation or anything. It was just like purely like you're in your own head kind of, and you're just like fully zoned out and it's just like an automatic thing and you're just pulling. So it can be kind of on both ends of that. Oftentimes, for me, it was kind of just that zone out in a way where I'm just in class and it's just like nothing's going on and nothing, I'm not doing anything with my hands, not even writing notes, and it just kind of begins.
Interesting. So when you first started doing this, do you think it was caused just because of that book report, or were there other things going on and that may have been the pushing point to really kind of bring this to a forefront?
I mean, that's a good question. To my knowledge, it's often a thing that goes on in, like, it'll often, what's the word, like, reveal itself in kids within, like, middle school and high school, and maybe even early college. It's typically like an adolescent thing. So, I definitely had a lot going on in my life at that time. So I definitely think that it's likely, you know, with something to do with like that type of stress in my life. It was revealed to me in like ninth grade. So I remember in like ninth grade through 11th grade, my mental health wasn't the best, just in general, like stuff going on in my life. I had a lot of family stuff going on with my siblings and my parents fighting a lot. And then, funnily enough, I had a lot of anxiety around like just girls and talking to girls and all that kind of stuff. So I think the kind of the combination of that and like the anxiety it caused me definitely could have kind of pushed that. I don't want to say it was 100% that, but because I definitely think it's like kind of just a part of me. Like even now, it's something that kind of just happens, you know, in day to day. Yeah, it's definitely like exacerbated by that. Definitely made worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, you know, transitioning through high school, right? Going through those years, those are hard years for anybody, right? That's complicated as it is. So, did this kind of complicate things for you? Did you kind of second guess things? Like, how was this whole process, you know, after you found out that you had TTM, and how did you experience that?
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, it kind of just shot my self-esteem down. That's like the first thing. Just going through high school with, because, you know, high school kids are mean. And my assumption was that no one's really too good-willed, which is pretty pessimistic. It wasn't true, but I was very like almost scared in a way of interacting with other people in regards to my TTM, where it's like, I remember, even to this day, I have to like consciously remind myself to like look people in the eye and not like look a little down, like maybe at their chin or something. Cause for some reason I didn't want to like, I didn't want them to see, you know? So if I put my head all the way up and I face towards them, they'll see and maybe they'll ask. So like a lot of those types of situations happen where like socially I was very scared to be quite honest, like very anxiety ridden and scared where, even my friends, I didn't want to tell them for a bit. My friends were like, what happened there? And I just wouldn't say anything. I was just kind of like, let's not talk about that, you know? As time went on and with, you know, the help of my therapist, I don't even know if I should call her a therapist. She was specifically a TTM specialist, but okay. With her help, she helped me kind of get over those hurdles slowly but surely.
And we'll get into that later on, because I do want to talk about kind of that whole experience as well. Yeah. So were there any significant moments, you know, in high school? Cause what, you're in your third year of college now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we'll get into college in a little bit, but throughout high school, right? So even having to hide that from your friends at first, right? It's something that's definitely not easy, you know? So what were you coming up with? Were you coming up with excuses, you know, or were you just kind of pushing it off and acting like, you know, it wasn't there? Like, what were you doing with this?
Yeah, it's tough to remember, like, because it was a very short period where I didn't tell my friends. So specifically in relation to that, I don't remember exactly what I told them. I think I kind of just pushed it away and was like, let's not talk about that for now. And then eventually I did end up telling my friends, and they were overall very supportive. I have some of the best friends ever. They're very nice. We're very nice to each other, and we care for each other a lot. So that was good. There were obviously a couple jokes cracked, but it's all in good fun, especially in hindsight. At the time, there were a couple jokes I was not so happy with, but yeah. In hindsight, it's all in good fun, especially with the mindset I'm at now. But in terms of other people, because with my friends, it was much easier.
Yeah.
But in terms of other people, I had a lot of people ask me if I lost a bet, funnily enough, because, you know, you'll see a lot of people say, like, because it's in my eyebrows is the main place that's visible. Eyelashes, when I took off all my eyelashes, no one really noticed. But for the eyebrows, you know, people often see, like, oh, shave your eyebrow as a prank, like one eyebrow. So some people actually thought I lost a bet, and they asked me that. And sometimes I'd say yes, sometimes I'd say no, and they would just drop it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a case-by-case thing. I started just telling the truth after I had seen the specialist and was like, I'm fine with this now.
Yeah.
But initially, yeah, it was a lot of, like, misdirection and a lot of, like, oh, lost a bet, oh, you know, I thought it was funny, whatever it was. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Just trying to cover it up.
See, that's also big of you. So when did you start admitting it? When did you start saying, you know, like, no, this is, I have TTM, you know, and this is why I'm doing this?
Yeah. I would say it was probably either the end of sophomore year or the beginning of junior year. So, like, about 2 years into having it, I was, like, kind of, like, at peace with it and was, like, I, like, anyone asks, it's honestly better if I tell them because it, you know, it not only shows, like, confidence in myself, but also if someone's dealing with anything mental health wise, it might be even, you know, slightly helpful to them. And I want to be open so that other people can feel like they can be open too.
Yeah, which is, I think, is so important. And that's why I think it's awesome that you were able to be open. You know, I didn't know you went to therapy that early on. So how was that whole experience when you started to get into therapy, or did you want to go to therapy at first? Was this something you were against? You know, I know there's another huge stigma around that. So is that something that you kind of were like, I don't know if I want to do that. You know, you kind of just wanted to stay under the radar, let everything that was happening happen and kind of just, you know, take the blows and whatever, like just leave it. Or, you know, what was your thoughts on that and how did you go through with it?
I mean, generally, I'm kind of, this isn't the best trait to have. I'm kind of like a, I'll deal with it type of person where, asking for help, I feel fine with, but if I don't have to, I won't usually. I tend to not want to be a burden on other people, which I know in this kind of situation, in hindsight, especially, I'm not being a burden on, like, my mom if I tell her or something like that. But that was kind of like the thought at the time, especially when I, like, first initially did it, like around that book report time when I was doing all the research. You know, I told my mom and she knew about it, but she had asked me, she's like, do you want to see someone? And I had told her because of the research that I had done was almost strictly through the man and the specialist on Long Island. So I was like, this guy is an option and I understand that, but for now I want to kind of chill out. And then it took me a bit, I want to say it, I think it was like towards the end of sophomore year, funnily enough, when I started going. So it was probably like a good year and a half, maybe close to 2 years, where I kind of was like, I'm just going to ride it out, see what happens. And then there was, it kind of hit a point where it was like, there was always a point where there was like a substantial chunk missing from like an eyebrow or something. And then I remember also, I started not like meticulously pulling out scalp hair, but I would play with my hair with the like intention of having hair fall out. And like roughly, you know, mess with my hair and fix it. So at that point, it was actually during, I don't know if we even called them finals, but like during, like when we would go to the gym and okay. take the tests, you know, yeah. All that, in the summer, around that time, I was like, I should probably do it. Cause like there was, I remember there being like, not a pile cause that's absurd, but you know, like a good 15, 20 hairs sitting on the desk on my test paper. And I was like, yeah, I don't want this to get worse.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start talking to someone for sure.
Okay. So I want to ask you this too. So what's the reasoning behind it, right? So is it after the hairs fall out, is it like this kind of like sense of satisfaction, or is it something that, like, I know you said you also sometimes don't realize, or is it something like me, I bite my nails. Sometimes I bite my nails without realizing. Sometimes I do it intentionally, you know, but it's like I do it more out of nervousness, right? So it's kind of just, I guess, sometimes out of nervousness, sometimes it's just because I Like you said, you're not doing anything with your hands. Sometimes you need to do something with your hands that's doing something.
Yeah.
So what is kind of the purpose of it, and what is it like fulfilling? Because I know it's not something where you're like in control of it, right? From what I'm understanding.
Yeah.
I could be understanding it incorrectly, and it, please correct me if I'm understanding it wrong. But, you know, it sounds like it's not something that you can control, you know?
Yeah. So, like, that is relatively correct. I don't want to fully, like, black and white it and be like, I'm not in control, because, like, technically you are, but the way that it's often described, that, like, that I read about or anything like that, is it'll be described as you'll get an irresistible urge to pull out body hairs. So, like, it's not, like, it's so appealing for what feels like irrational reasons, you know? Like, you're, like, just, like, for me, I know it varies from person to person, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for me, for example, it'll be really appealing in my head to, like, pull it out. A lot of the times I'll kind of rationalize it and be like, oh, it's like a stray hair. I'll get the stray hair out real quick. And then I'll get it out and then I'll feel again. And then there'll be like another stray hair,
yeah,
or something like that. And then it doesn't end, if that makes sense. For me, it was that stray hair thing kind of for a lot of the time where it's like, oh no, just like one more.
And do you get like a feeling of like I said, excitement, pleasure? Like, what is that feeling when you're doing it?
Yeah. So, like, I don't know if it's pleasure necessarily, but it is, like, it's, like, relieving in a way, almost.
Okay.
Like, if I get the urge and then I don't pull, it's like I'm, like being, like, wound up, kind of.
Okay.
And then as soon as I start pulling, and, like, if I'm okay with it and I'm not beating myself up about the pulling, it is relieving in an odd way. I get, yeah, pleasurable is actually, now think, you know, after saying all that, is actually the right word. It is pleasurable to an extent, and it's very hard to, like, stop once you've started. For me, like, if I start getting an urge, but I haven't started pulling yet, what happens a lot sometimes, like, I'll kind of just, like, feel the hair on my eyebrow, and then as soon as I start pulling, it'll be relieving, and I'll want to do more, if that makes sense.
So it's like almost like a mosquito bite, right?
Yeah.
When it's itchy, you know, you first get the bit by a mosquito, and, you know, you feel that it's there. You don't want to scratch it initially, but then when you scratch it, you just can't stop scratching it until it bleeds almost.
Exactly.
You know, so would that be a good analogy?
That's actually a really good analogy. Okay. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay.
And even the bleeding part of the analogy is a good way to put it. Like, there's a point at which it starts to hurt as well.
Yeah.
In both, you know, mentally and physically, you know, once you've taken out a chunk of hair, it's like, which I'm sure a lot of people haven't felt this sensation when you have just a bald spot where you had a bunch of hair previously, like 5 minutes ago, you get this like oddly burning and like pressure. So, like, physically, it does hurt, and it's, like, a constant reminder, and that in and of itself will make you want to pull more, and make you want to, like, relieve yourself almost in a way by pulling more. And then mentally, of course, if you're not, like, fully at peace with it, at peace with what just happened, it's gonna kind of make you go crazy, too, in that way.
And then it spirals, and it's just kind of this cycle, right?
Yeah, exactly, like. Yeah. I actually, that's a good way to put it, too. I did a presentation on TTM in one of my first semester classes
cool.
at Hofstra, and I created like a diagram of a cycle where I don't know how scientifically accurate this is, but this is like my experience with it, where you get anxiety and then that leads to pulling, and then the pulling leads to anxiety, and then that leads to more pulling. So it's literally like you have to like break the wheel in a way.
Yeah.
If you want to get out of it, which is very tough to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's just like anything, right? When you're kind of stuck in a cycle, it's very hard to break out of it. And especially when this is something that, you know, it's like when people are depressed or anxious, it's just like, oh, don't be anxious or don't be depressed. You know, it's like, if it was that easy, then nobody would be depressed or anxious. Like, it's, but obviously it's not. So going through things like that, Was there anything where you remember, you know, I want to stick in high school for now, where it was so bad, like, it was just, did it ever have, like, really, really bad points and, you know, points that weren't that bad at that time? Or
yeah. So, I don't remember, I mean, I don't remember exactly when this was, but I'm trying to think, when you turned 16 is junior year? Our sweet 16 is junior year or sophomore year?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore year?
I think so.
So, I remember in sophomore year, I was at a sweet 16. Me and my sister are twins, so I was, one of her friends is like our families are close, so I was also invited to the sweet 16. And I remember, I don't know exactly how much of my eyebrows were gone, but like probably a good 70 to 80% just wasn't there on my face. And I just couldn't bring myself to even get up at the sweet 16. I was just sitting at the table. My family was there, of course, cause they knew the other family. So I was kind of just sitting with my family. My friends were there and I could have went out, and my best friend Kevin was there and he was like, come on, you know, let's go out. Let's have some fun. And I just couldn't bring myself to. I was too humiliating to me at the time. And I didn't do a lot of things because of like humiliation. I guess would be the best way to describe that feeling. It felt humiliating, to just kind of not, like, it was for a good couple months where I didn't have like most of my eyebrows, at a time. And then it would be like, it'd grow back and then back to it and then kind of flip flopping.
Okay. So at that time, right, you noticed this kind of flip-flopping and, you know, going back and forth and going through this cycle. Was that time where when you were going to these Sweet 16s and, you know, what was going through your mind? Like, what were you saying to yourself? What were you feeling? You know, what was everything at this time like?
That's a good question. I mean, just thinking about that example specifically, it was more like less, like it wasn't like the most concise thoughts of life and like the most like I'm not doing this because of this. It was more like a lot of fear. It felt like fear was dictating, and fear and anxiety were dictating a lot of my like the way I went about my life. Because I kind of associated the TTM as like basically like, it might as well be painted on my forehead, you know, in big black ink. And I'm telling everyone by looking at them that I have this thing. And I didn't want to deal with any of those interactions. So it was less like conscious avoidance and like more of just like this is how it is for me. It became like this like synonymous thing of like, well, I'm just going to act this way normally. And it was purely subconscious, but it's not like I made the decision, but like, I'm just acting this way because my fear and anxiety of someone asking me about it or trying to help me, would just completely, you know, it wouldn't work for me. And I was too scared to kind of face that.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, it's very interesting to me, the whole thing, you know, and I love how knowledgeable you are about it also. I think it's so important to really have an understanding of what's going on and why these things are happening, because I think there's plenty of people who do struggle with things and they don't really understand it. They don't understand why. And, you know, do you agree? Do you think, you know, in your case, it's something that has helped you as well, you know, for being able to understand it and being able to get why things trigger you or why things don't, you know? So if you want to get into that and, you know, explain how you feel with that stuff as well.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point. So yeah, a lot of my uncertainty and anxiety in a way did come from the not knowing. And like I remember my first thought when I started looking up was like, what in God's name is happening here? This is like a very absurd, specific thing that I just did. And it doesn't feel like it's a thing. It feels like I did something weird and I'm a weird kid or whatever. But like, once I learned like, oh, this is a real impulse control disorder and a lot of people are affected by it. And funnily enough, I'm a much more mild case. And all that kind of stuff. It kind of having that understanding of like, this is the reality of the situation helps a lot. A lot of the things that I talked about with my specialist and therapist were kind of just her explaining to me, like, this is how it works. These are often things that will trigger someone, and these are often the reasons why you continue to pull and all that stuff. And having that understanding kind of definitely helped me, I would say. I don't think that approach works for everyone. I know for example, like me and my older sister are extremely different people, and we've both gone through kind of mental health struggles, and we both have handled them very differently. She's very happy right now, and she just moved out and is doing great and doing some stuff with her fiance and just kind of getting on with life. And she overcame all the hurdles in her life without kind of the method that I did it, without that proper explanation and like kind of detail-oriented breakdown. Although it's comforting for me, I wouldn't fully generalize it to everyone, but I would definitely recommend people that if they're completely clueless, finding out what's going on is definitely like the first step that they should take.
Awesome. And now, you know, with you even saying that, I kind of want you to transition into your entire therapy story, right? So how you, that first session went to kind of where you are today, if you're still seeing the therapist, you know, and all those hurdles you've gotten over and all that progress that you've made.
Yeah. So I went, her name is Dr. Wendy Penzel. She is actually the wife of the man that I was talking about earlier, that trichotillomania specialist who, like, he posted a bunch of YouTube videos and explanations. She is the wife of him, rather. And she ran her office, I think, in the same building as his. She was just more available at the time. So me and my mom booked an appointment with her, and my mom came with me. She's very supportive, very nice. And we went into the office. And then the first thing that she kind of did was what I just mentioned previously, was like, I kind of got a full explanation of like, this is what it is. This is kind of like, this is like what might trigger you. And then, like all the possible triggers. And then she asked me like, what do you think your trigger is? And it was a lot of like her asking kind of my perception of what's going on when I'm pulling and before I'm pulling and what might cause the pulling. And kind of, being that involved, I know it might sound kind of absurd to some people, but like, I didn't fully understand therapy and anything like that before going. So being like this is a two-man process here, me and Dr. Penzel, it's a back and forth. We're trading information and she's kind of like my guide in a way, was very helpful. We didn't do any like behavioral therapies or anything. I've heard that behavioral therapies are a thing for TTM patients in very severe cases, but we worked on kind of being at peace with it more and just trying to work on like not even beginning to pull. And if I did pull, funnily enough, being okay with it and being like, yeah, this is fine. It's part of me. It's, you know, like I literally have an impulse control disorder. I couldn't control my impulses for a bit. Who cares? Kind of creating that mentality and that like indifference towards TTM itself helped me a lot, funnily enough, which is something that I recommend to anyone. If anyone's watching with TTM, oddly enough, creating an indifference a mentality of indifference helps you immensely. So yeah.
So you've been going for, are you still going today?
I'm not seeing Dr. Penzel anymore.
Okay.
I stopped seeing her. Basically what we did was we tried a couple medications, which there's no actual like you take the TTM pill and TTM goes away. That doesn't really exist. But there have been, from what Dr. Penzel had told me at the time, there have been a couple medications that might help with it. And like I think I don't remember it exactly, but I think it was just a more general like supplement type of thing that just might help with, you know, the way I'm thinking about it or however it works. She didn't explain fully how it works to me. So we started with something called inositol powder, which I think we got from GNC, funnily enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't even a prescription. And it was, I don't know exactly what inositol powder is, but it was just this white powder. It basically looked like sugar. She told me, put X amount into a drink and then just drink it, mix it up and then drink it every night. And then we would like ramp it up the dosage to the point where it was like, I was drinking like just the powder. Like it was like 75% powder and like 25% drink, even in like a big glass.
Yeah.
So we started going back and I was like, I don't know if I could do this. This is like a lot. And I remember I would like sit at the counter for like 20, 30 minutes a night and just be like, gotta finish, you know? And like use like this big, I remember I had like a big straw, like a metal straw just to try to get it all up. But we ended up switching to another, what she called an experimental medication, which I think was also just a supplement called NAC, which is just NAC. They're just like little tablets. And I took, I think it was four every night, four capsules every night. And then that was it. So that was much easier than the powder. And then eventually I just kind of slowly weaned off the NAC. I'm kind of jumping ahead. After taking the NAC for a good amount of time, because we ramped it up, it was 1 week on one capsule, 2 weeks on two capsules, up until four, and then we stayed at four. After maybe a couple months of that, I was feeling much better. I'm not 100% attributing it to the NAC. I don't think it was, to be quite honest. I often joke with my friends that I got placeboed, which I think might have happened. But the combination of having that stable medication structure and then also working on my mentality around it and just kind of working on mental health things in general made me kind of just feel much better, you know, kind of going into the latter half of junior year and then senior year, where my pulling had slowed down a bunch. What was I going to say? Eventually, like culminating in me just not taking the NAC at all anymore. So I'm not on any medication, not going to Dr. Penzel anymore, but I'm doing pretty good with it. You know, have an episode here, an episode there, but I try not to let it affect me.
That's awesome. And how was your mental health through the entire thing? You know, I know, like you said, it was kind of caused by anxiety, but how was your mental health in general? You know, this was a long journey, right? It started when you were in ninth grade, and now this is 6 years later, right? 7 years later. So, you know, how has your mental health been through that entire time? I'm going to assume there's ups and downs, but if you want to kind of get into it and those feelings you felt, you know, get deep and raw and really share with us what it was like.
Yeah, for sure. Just from kind of the beginning, starting in like ninth grade, and like even towards the end of middle school, that end of eighth grade leading into ninth grade, my home life was, there was a lot of arguing going on, and you know, like, you know how it is in Long Island, everyone's loud and everyone kind of screams, but this was very, it felt malicious, even as like a 13, 14 year old kid. I'm sitting there and listening to this stuff from my room, and it's just like not, you know, like it gives that feeling of like, you know, your stomach drops and a slight anxiety. I've never spoken to anyone about having like GAD or anything like that. I know my dad has GAD, which is generalized anxiety disorder. So my anxiety was definitely just up in general during those times. You know, my sister and my parents got into it a lot, quite frankly. Just trying to think, sorry. They got into a lot, and I kind of felt at the time like I had to kind of make sense of it and be, because like to me what it sounded like I oftentimes was that like one person is being irrational and then the other person is also being irrational, and me as a person is very like, I care very much about like think about what you're gonna say before you say it and don't just shout stuff out, and that's what it felt like to me. So like I'm like being a translator almost, and I'm like, no, this person means this, this person probably means this, and I'm kind of in the middle of it for maybe a year or so. it culminated in, we went on a family vacation, funnily enough, to Hawaii in, I think it was going into 10th grade. So okay. It was like summer of 9th grade into 10th grade. And then the arguing and screaming and all that stuff got so bad that I had to make the decision at 15 years old to tell my, like, my mom was like, what do we do in the situation? And I remember being the person to be like, let's go home early from vacation and figure this out. And I think being in that role and feeling like I had to fulfill that role was incredibly stressful, and definitely didn't help the TTM. And then after that kind of, I'm going to say resolved, but like, it's more like the problem went away for a little bit and then years later it was fine. But once it was resolved, I just remember my anxiety just being crazy in general. Like I remember there were many nights I would come home from school, and obviously like definitely part of it is just like being exhausted from waking up at 7 a.m. and all that. But I remember like, I would just like lay in my bed, listen to lo-fi music, funnily enough. And I would just like put the covers over my face and just lay there. Like I wouldn't even go to bed. I would just like relax and breathe and all that. And then like after an hour, I would get to the rest of my night. Like looking back, I don't think my mental health was the best at that time. I don't know if it necessarily caused the TTM, but it didn't help. Definitely flared it up, and I could definitely see it as kind of a coping mechanism, like in class, if I'm just zoning out and thinking about what's going on at home or what might happen later tonight, it became very easy to pull and just kind of zone out and not like consciously think of it, but like, obviously it's in the back of my head, but just like kind of have like that floaty, nothing going on in your head while I'm, you know what I mean? Just kind of pulling out. And then, obviously, you know, you're in high school and, you know, you're starting to talk to girls and hang out with girls and all that. So, having a couple of just like, not relationships, but just like, you know, hangouts and stuff going on, that didn't help either. I remember freaking out about that stuff a lot. And then with the stuff going on at home, I think that made those experiences much worse, in terms of my mental health as well.
So it was kind of a snowball effect.
Yes.
You know, you definitely had a lot going on as it was, and then everything adding on top of it definitely didn't make it better.
Yeah.
So did you notice these things in college start to get better? You know, I know you said towards the end of high school, you noticed it to start getting better. Was that transition into college, was this something that flared it up? Was this something that kind of made it stay away? What was that whole situation like?
Obviously the therapy helped, and like that's when I like exponentially started to get better. But I remember, if you remember Mr. Como from high school, I did Marine Fitness, and he's the coach for that. So I remember one day after practice, he like pulls me to the side, and it was when I barely had any eyebrows. He pulls me to the side and he's like, he called me D-Benz. He's like, D-Benz, what is going on here? He's like, how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who doesn't know watching, Mr. Como is one of the most compassionate people ever. He's a bit of, you know, a hard guy, and he's like a former Marine or something, former in the Army, some, you know, that kind of stuff. But he's a very caring person. And when he did that, it was like I felt this incredible relief, you know, that he had reached out, and it was done in such a careful and compassionate way that he actually helped me speak to people, and I spoke to him a lot, and he was always checking in on me. Him just kind of existing in high school for me, as well as going to the therapy and having my very supportive parents, were all things that just slowly but surely kind of made me get better as time went on. And then, of course, the big thing that I mentioned earlier was being okay with the pulling. Like when I would have a little episode, what would oftentimes spiral me was like, like, oh, there's like a bald circle, a tiny bald circle on my eyebrow. That's terrible. I don't like that. And then I keep pulling. But like, if I'm like, if I like take a second, get up, go to the bathroom, look at myself, be like, doesn't even really matter. You know, like however I justify it, it's funny. I've done many things. Mm-hmm. But like, just look at it, be like, breathe. It's okay. It doesn't matter that that happened. It kind of helps me disconnect and just get back to what's important and not focus on the bad or the anxiety. And then throughout college, or my first two semesters of college were fully online. So if I ever felt myself kind of getting like that, I would actually just get up and just kind of take a lap around the house, funnily enough. And then just not allow myself to get there. And then once we went back, it had been like 2 or 3 years since I was in that, like, or like, I guess rather like a year and a half, 2 years since I'd been in like a proper classroom setting. So that definitely just helped me a lot in terms of like readjusting. It was like I was kind of like recalibrating in a way where my old habits of like defaulting to like maybe my hand on my face or my hand on my eyebrow, I'm now defaulted to like my hands in my lap or my hands clasped together or something like that. And just my habits around it kind of got toned down much more, and my triggering habits, when I started going back to in class or in person rather in college.
And, you know, that's so cool too, to see kind of that progression too, right? Like kind of looking at it kind of from the grand scheme of things, right? You kind of take a step back and you're like, realistically, like you said, it was like 6 to 7 years, right, of you going through this and the amount of progress you made in that amount of time, right? Yeah. You know, it's kind of like you're able to see this mountain of stuff. And I, from how it seems, is you're kind of on the downside of that mountain now, right? So it's instead of you're walking up, now it's easier coming down. So do you want to get into where you're at today? And anything else that you kind of left out or anything else that you felt you needed to touch on?
Yeah, sure. I mean, just in terms of where I'm at today, if anyone's watching the video version of the podcast, I'm doing pretty good. If you look at my face, I have a large majority of my eyebrows. I'd say 98%. There's maybe a couple thin spots, obviously from prior damage in high school. And then obviously I have episodes here and there, but... I've been perfectly fine with it and being at peace kind of with my TTM has kind of boosted my mental health a lot. Very optimistic about, you know, life, what's going on, and kind of just looking towards the future. You know, I'm not, being a psych major, specifically looking towards the future in the way of, now that I feel like I've kind of overcome this, I want to now help other people overcome this or stuff similar to it. So that's kind of where I'm at. I feel like I'm in a good enough spot to not necessarily stop worrying about myself, but, you know, keep up what I'm doing and then now put my full focus into now I can, put my hands out to other people.
Yeah. Which is amazing. That's so admirable, you know, for you to do. And people could easily just kind of take it on themselves and do it by themselves, you know, and kind of not worry about other people. And look, there's nothing wrong with that also. You know, you have to sometimes put yourself first and make sure you're okay in where you are. But when you're able to understand and realize the point that you're at, and now you see that, okay, I have enough information, knowledge, I know what I'm doing with myself, you know, I've gotten myself to this better place. Now I can go and help other people and put them, you know, hopefully on the right path and guide them kind of like you were guided. And I think that's very special of you. I think that takes a big heart, you know, and I know, you know, this is kind of just some background knowledge. Like you said, you want to go into therapy, you want to help people. So, you know, you do have a big heart and it's very important that you're using this for good. You know, you could obviously just keep this stuff to yourself, which there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's some people who don't like sharing stuff, but whatever. I think what you're doing and what you're trying to do is amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. Yeah. And right no back problem. At you.
Thank
this,
you.
This podcast is amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. And I have one more question, you know, before we close everything out. What is something you would tell your younger self? You know, when I say your younger self, I mean when you first started this, you know, in ninth grade, what would you tell yourself?
I would say be patient with yourself, because I wasn't. take your time with it. There is, like, I mean, not to use all of the cliche metaphors, but, like, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You're not stuck down here forever. Just keep walking slowly but surely, and you'll get there eventually, and you'll be happier with yourself, you know, that you went through this as opposed to, you know, skipping to the end of the line.
Definitely. Thank you so much for coming on. You have an amazing story, and keep up the amazing work. I think you're doing a great job, and yeah, I really think you're doing amazing stuff, and you know, I look forward to seeing what you do in the future and, you know, who you're helping, and I'd love to have you on again, you know, in the future. So yeah. I really think you're doing amazing stuff. So
thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on. And is there anything else you would like to say to anybody before we close?
I mean, honestly, if you think you're dealing with something, but you don't think it's quote unquote important enough or bad enough to go to therapy, those are the exact kinds of people that should go to therapy. So I advocate for that. Definitely go to therapy. Even if you're having a slight thing, you'll feel better afterwards. For
great.
Sure.
Thank you guys. And tune in next time. Thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to check out Dark Angel Company on Instagram at Dark Angel Co. and online at darkangelco.com. If you're interested in supporting and spreading awareness towards bringing light to a dark topic together, then tune in next time.